Right, small video. Just felt like it needed finishing after such great singing. Hey, so this here, my wife Hayley and I were out in Zambia in March, and this is out in Chipata, out east of Zambia, and this is the local youth choir that we stumbled across practicing for their Sunday morning service. And so they stopped and they sang us a song, and what it says is, although you don't know me that well, you are welcome, which is what I'm hoping that you'll do to me today. You might also notice that as they sang that, they talked about Harry. Now, Harry is how they say my wife's name, Hayley, because they don't really know how to pronounce L's and R's around the right way. I can't tell you what they call me. You can figure that out for yourself. So this morning I want to talk about, have I got this thing right again? This morning I want to talk about mission and dignity, and how does that bring glory to God. As we go through this morning, just a couple of questions for you to think about. What is dignity? And how mission do we ensure that we empower dignity rather than diminish it for these people that we are partnering with? Now, I've been involved with Bright Hope, volunteering for them for over 20 years now, which is quite amazing. You know, we've learned a lot about partnering with people, with local people in a global context. Made quite a few mistakes, to be honest, but hopefully we've learnt from them. I know I've learnt a lot more from our partners that we have in Zambia than probably I've ever taught them. And I've also learned a lot from people like Rob Perdue, Kevin Honore, the founding people of Bright Hope World, of how to partner with local people. So my prayer is that as we look into things today, we can continue to learn about how to empower people with dignity that brings glory to God. Just let me quickly pray. Father God, I thank you that you are here this morning. I thank you for this church. I thank you for their willingness to look far field places to show your glory to other people. Father, you look down on high, as it says in Psalm 113. You look down on it from a high place, but you see the downtrodden, you see the poor, you see the orphans and the widows. And your glory is the fact that you want to lift them up. And I thank you that you want to use us to help lift them up as we partner with you. So thank you, Father. So first text. God created people with dignity and purpose. So Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You see, every person is made, as that says, in the image of God. You know, human dignity doesn't necessarily come from wealth, from your education, from your status in the community, from your abilities, from how much resource you have. It comes in God's image. And in that image, God has given us things to do. He commands us to be fruitful, to flourish, to rule, to subdue the earth, and to look after it. So being a mission, especially when you're partnering with people who are in poverty, is not about helping lesser people. It's about recognizing the God-given worth already present in them and helping them to achieve their God-given purpose. You know, just because we here in the West might have a ton of resource versus the rest of the world, the majority world, doesn't necessarily make us the ones who should be in control in these partnerships or be above people we are partnering with. We are not more than our partners. We're also not less than them. We are the same, created in God's image, all trying to find a way to reflect that image. You know, sometimes that can be difficult for us in the West when we go to help people and we have all this resource and see that they have a lack of resource. You know, when I start to think about examples of people's dignity being restored, this is a Bright Hope partner in Zambia, Sarah, who's the one in the back of the arm raised. Sorry about the photo, it's just a WhatsApp. But Sarah runs a partnership called Ukusinaminwa, Safe Haven Child Foundation. Now Sarah has a house, she has about five bedrooms, and she looks after, well at the moment I know there's 56 children living in her five-bedroom house. But these children are very, very vulnerable children. They've been taken from very traumatic circumstances: exploitation, sexual abuse, abandonment, street children, deaf children that are considered by their families to be cursed, so they just throw them out because they don't know what else to do with them. But she involves the community as well to help in what she's doing. Can you imagine washing the clothes of all these children? No washing machine, just the board and some soap and water. So she involves all the ladies in the community to come and help in what she is doing. She teaches farming to people. She runs sports programs in the community. She runs microloan programs to try and help empower people with their small businesses so that they can feed their own families. And she likes to be able to go into the community and teach and make sure that people are hearing from the Word of God. She was telling us when we were there this last time about a horrific situation where some local witch doctors are going around and telling families that if you want to be successful and wealthy in your life, you should abuse your children, which is just evil. And she's trying to address those situations and tell people this is not the case. God wants you to flourish in these ways through hard work. And then she's getting the local police involved and trying to deal with these witch doctors. So please pray for her in that, because it's a big issue at the moment around Zambia. She says when she's with these children, she says you have to walk with them through their journey. You have to share a biblical foundation of the Lord Jesus so that children can experience God's love and restore dignity. She says, look at just one child and focus on all the possibility that the child has because they've been created in God's image. This is an example of one of the children. So this guy's name is Richard. He was abandoned as a four-year-old child and was living on the streets of a town called Kabwe as a street kid. Fending for himself, obviously he was really troubled. This was 20 years ago, and when social services brought him to Sarah, because they didn't know what else to do with him, she says he was a very angry, untrusting, and violent young boy. But through walking a journey with him, this is what he's like now. He's actually studying to be a lawyer at a university, and why he wants to do that is so he can defend the rights of children in his country. So this is what he has to say.
Hello, my name is Richard Chishimba, a second year law student at the Cooper Belt University. Going halfway through my degree has shown me exactly what I'm capable of. So there are many students like me at Safe Haven that are working so hard to get to that finish line, but we need partners to help us achieve that milestone. So we are calling you on board as sponsors, because your support doesn't just pay for a semester, but it ensures that we complete our studies so that we can get into the world and make a real difference. Please join us. Let's achieve this together. Thank you.
Yeah, to get into the world and to make a real difference. Please join us and we can do this together. Is what he has to say to us this morning. Another partnership in Zambia that we, a Bright Hope partnership that we facilitate with, and Rickerton Church has been involved with Kamatipa for many years. I think it was 20, wasn't it, Phil? But you asked me not to mention that. So this is Fidus in the yellow. So Fidus and her late husband Jeremiah. Jeremiah died sadly in 2017. But they had a heart for the orphans in their community. And they wanted to help the orphans to get an education because they see that as critical in developing people and restoring dignity. So they don't run an orphanage at their house, but these children are still looked after in the community by uncles and aunties and relatives. But they help them with some school fees. So this guy with a cheesy grin, Leonard, and this is his wife, Yvette. So Leonard was one of the first orphans to go through this program at Kamatipa. He now has his own family, married to Yvette with two young girls. He is farming for his food in the local village, and he also has a motorbike that he uses to go around all the wells in the villages and collect data to see how clean the drinking water is for villages. When he finished school, he moved to Lusaka, to the capital, to try and get work. But he quickly realised that he didn't want to be there and he wanted to be back in his small town community so he could make a difference because of what had been done for him. I asked him to send us a message for us. So this is what he said. He started off with a verse for us, Galatians 6, 9 to 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Then he goes on to say, because of you, some of us have seen light. We have even grown and can have families. Very grateful. Raising children, helping each other in the community. Don't be tired. In due time, we will reap what God has sown in our lives. We were struggling even to eat a small cassava with a little salt in one day. This was not a simple thing to help us, and we faced many challenges. Because of what has been done by Jeremiah and Fidus through Bright Hope and Rickerton Church, I can help my community. Because of my education, I can fix many problems. Even people see me and are encouraged with what has happened to this little orphan. So you see, Richard and Leonard are realizing their dignity, that they were created in God's image. Key thought, we don't bring dignity to people. We help restore and affirm the dignity that God has already given them. Okay, second thought. Don't worry, there's only three. Jesus restored dignity through participation. Text Mark 6, 35 to 38. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it is already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he, Jesus, answered them, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go around and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, five and two fish. This is a story I'm sure we all know very well. But the interesting thing to me is before feeding the 5,000, Jesus told the disciples, you give them something to eat. I'm pretty sure he could have done everything himself. But he involved others in this miracle and asked them to look at what they had and not moan about what they didn't, even though I think that they did moan. And I think we can learn from this. Even the little we have, God wants to use. He wants to participate with us to use the little that we have. So don't think what you have is nothing. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he empowered people through participation. He sent disciples out. He commissioned ordinary fishermen. He restored outcasts into the community. You know, there's a quote by a man called Bryant Myers that I often think of. We must never do for others what they could do for themselves. We must never do for others what they can do for themselves. I think the issue is if we start doing everything for people when we're in mission, we actually may take dignity away rather than restore it. So 2 years ago, Sarah from Uku Sinaminwa, the Child Foundation, we sat with her and she was discussing with us, she said, look, you know, it's great that you guys give, but somehow I need to become self-sustainable. I need to be able to create my own income to be able to use in this ministry. So we sat and discussed, we said, well, what does it look like? And she came up with a plan of doing maize trading, where at harvest time in Zambia, when there's plentiful maize, they buy maize, they store it for a few months, and then when it gets scarcer, they then sell the maize and create a bit of profit. So we thought that was a good idea, so we went ahead and helped fund her to do that. When she made the profit, she was able to use this for this young girl, Kondwani. This is a young girl who was almost blind. She can't see much, and she could not walk. When she was born, her mum was only 14 years old, and she lived with a grandmother, and they had no real way of supporting the family. Her mum had no idea what to do with Kondwani because she's blind and can't walk. So her answer to the problem was she'd just lock her inside the small grass mud hut all day and all night and wouldn't let her out. Thankfully, some people in the community brought this to the attention of Sarah, and Sarah went and discussed with the mother about what could be done. So now Kondwani lives with Sarah. Sarah still talks to Kondwani's mum and is hopeful that at some stage she can move back with her mum in the future. But for now, Sarah's taken her out to have in the house. So what's Kondwani like now?
I can't see, but I can feel the love.
I can't see, but I can feel the love. This kid is the most happiest, joyful little kid that you'll ever meet in your life. She just runs around, even though she can't see much. She's just so happy. See, I think Sarah being able to create the partnership's own income and ability to use these funds where she sees fit, she participates in bringing glory to God through helping others. So second key thought, God's way is not to merely do things for people, but to invite people into his work, to give them purpose and restore dignity by partnering with them to show his glory. Okay, next point. God's glory is revealed when people flourish to help others. The text here, Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, our goal of mission is not just successful projects. The goal is that lives are transformed by Christ, bring glory to God, and then God's blessing on those people, that they can be blessings to other people. There's so many times in the Bible where it talks about this. Genesis. God's talking to Abraham. I'll bless you, and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. 2 Corinthians. God is able to bless you abundantly so that you will abound in every good work. The one I really don't like, Luke. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. 1 Peter. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. See, when a local pastor flourishes, he shepherds his own community in the church towards Christ. When a farmer flourishes, he can feed his family. He can pay for his family's school fees and look for the needs and look after orphans in the community. When a church community flourishes, it's caring for its vulnerable neighbours. When believers flourish, we use all of our gifts and what we've been given to serve others. That's when we see God's goodness and God is glorified. Any of you recognise this guy? I know some, quite a few of you have been there. So Phil was just telling me that this is Charles Chibali. He's a Bright Hope partner in Kashi, Zambia. And Phil was telling me that the first time you had a
Vision Impact Giving,
this is where it went. And then you apparently did it again the next year, which is about the only time you've given two in a row. I think that's what Phil said. So Charles and Janet, he's a man that it's been a difficult time for him in his village of Kashi. Kashi is a very dark place, just in terms of the animism and the culture and the people that live there. But you know, he ran orphan programs going into school. He also did some training centres. He did some bricklaying, so some people are now flourishing with their bricklaying skills, carpentry skills, tailoring skills, and farming as well. So he's taught a lot of people how to farm that have increased yields, especially in the crop of cassava, which is a root vegetable. But I want to talk about this guy, Cephas. So Cephas was on the orphan program a long time ago, probably 25 years. He was one of the first people in the whole area to finish grade 12. Not just the orphans, the whole area of Kashi. One of the first ones in the area to ever finish grade 12, because most kids never got there. He was seen as someone very special from a Bible school that's about 100 kilometres up the road. And they decided to sponsor him to do a 2-year course at their Bible school. So he did very, very well at that. And then he went, they just thought, well, this young man is so special, we need to send him for further training. So they sent him to Tika University in the Copper Belt in Zambia. They gave him a 70% scholarship, and thankfully he managed to raise the other 30% by himself. So after finishing these studies at Tika, he's gone back to Samphire Bible School, and he's now a Bible school lecturer at this place. He's involved in a course that they call the Church Extension Program. So they noticed that being a Bible school, of course, normally students come to Bible school for a year or two and then they go back out. But sadly, they would go back out with all this knowledge and verve and be really into it, but they'd get back to their local church, and the local church and the villagers would be quite scared of them because they had all this knowledge, so they'd squash them. So not much was happening. So the Bible school has addressed this by running an extension program where they send out the Bible school teachers to actually train not just the pastor but the leaders of the church and key people in the community so that some real impact can happen with the gospel in those areas. You see, often before, there'd be one pastor and one Bible in the congregation, so whatever was said would go. Sorry, Phil. But this has actually meant that some real true theology has been able to get to these places. I think it's amazing that this young man, who was just this little orphan in Kashi, has done this. So what he's been given, he's been now giving back to his community. It's an amazing story of a small orphan boy who was helped by locals through partnership and is now flourishing to help others. This is another Bright Hope partnership, Doris. She lives right next to Thing. I love her shirt, eh? I'm a farmer's wife, just like a regular wife, but way cooler. Doris is a lady that has a massive heart for her community. She used to run an orphans program where they had some funds to help sponsor children to school. But she came to us and said, look, that's kind of a good thing, but I think we can do better. So what she wanted to do was empower local families to send their own kids and their own orphans into school, rather than having to rely on her. So now she runs farming seminars, teaching people how to farm. She runs a microloan program, empowering small business. But she also has a discipleship program where she's discipling, every year she does 20 ladies that come there and they disciple using a book called Knowing and Doing. And it's about knowing God, but then doing what God is asking them to do. One of the ladies she trained in farming is this lady here, Juliet Kunda. Now, before being trained, Juliet was a farmer. That was how she supported her family. And she would get 3 bags of maize grain in a lima. Does that mean anything to you? Probably not. It means that she was very poor because the year was a very, very low yield and she was not able to support her family that well. In fact, she used to just pray and beg and try and get people to help her out that way. Then she went to farming training with Doris. Doris taught her that God has seasons, so she has to plant on time. There's a certain time that she needs to plant by, which she didn't realize. Doris also taught her that God has standards, that she needed to plant the seeds a certain distance apart to get the right amount of seeds in the area she's planting to maximize the yield. She also taught her that she has to weed. She has to remove the things that are competing in the maize field so that the maize can grow strong. She made compost, taught her to make compost, which was a huge blessing for Juliet and the others because fertilizer is so expensive and they can't afford it, and even now it's hard to even get hold of. Doris also said she encouraged her and the others in the course with the following verse, Proverbs 14:23. Hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. You see, Juliet just used to talk about and then share the needs to others to help her, rather than using what God had given her. She had land and she had the ability to farm it. The dependency on others was leading her into poverty. After training, she's now getting 25 bags of maize and lima versus the 3 before. Just think about this for a minute, these numbers. A lima is actually 50 metres by 50 metres, so it's a quarter hectare. So she's gone from 3 50kg bags of maize grain to 25 50kg bags of maize grain. For a family of her size, she needs 12 bags to feed her family twice a day for the year. That means she's got 13 bags to sell to cover all the other costs. She can buy oil. She can buy charcoal. She can buy soap. She can look after her children. I think that's a lot better than sitting around praying and expecting somebody else to drop money for dependency. And if you want to see dignity restored, look at her smile, because she's the one that has done it. Last key thought. When people flourish and use what God has given them to help others, they become what God created them to be, and God receives the glory. So to conclude, we ask, what is dignity? I think dignity is the experience of being treated as somebody who matters. You know, the reason that we all matter is because we are created in God's image. And mission should help restore and affirm the dignity that God has already given them and us. Dignity is or can be diminished when people are treated merely just as a problem to be solved, an object of our charity, or burdens to be managed. God's mission is about partnership with local people, empowering them to participate in their God-given purpose to restore people's dignity. When people flourish and use what God has given to them to help others, they become what God created them to be, and God will receive the glory. Amen, guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Terry.